Hello, can you hear me?
Yes,
jolly good. Yes, you're so right about the lifelong learning, and I thought it'd be very boring if I came here tonight and talked to you about me and my business. So I thought I'd just talk to you about some of the things that I've learnt over 10 years of having my own business. And before that, I ran somebody else's business. And before that, I was in corporate life. And before that, I was a hotelier. So you learn these lessons, and I still learn lessons every single day, which is what it's all about. So I thought I'd just share a few bits and bobs and stories and things for, I don't know, 20-odd minutes, and then we'll maybe do some questions if you have any, and if not, we can all go home. I'll just start by saying what Learn Purple's about. Anybody heard of us? You don't have to say you have. Oh, a few. That's excellent. Thank you for that. So I'm not going to read this. Oh, it's very sensitive. I'm very heavy-handed. Do I have to point it somewhere? Oh, there. Okay, very clumsy. So I'm not going to read that out because you can all read. Some people think we're a training company. Some people think we're a software company. Some people think we're consultants. We never use the C word. Sorry, Vic. I didn't even touch it then.
That's why I left it on the left hand power of thought.
Right. We like to think of ourselves as enablers. And what it's all about is joining up the people stuff. What does that mean? I'm going to show you my very busy slide in a minute. And I always say when you do these presentations, you shouldn't have anything on slide that's longer than, bigger than you get on a T-shirt. So now here's my XXXL T-shirt coming up. I'm going to do it like that. Look. Oh, no, that doesn't work. So this is the purple plan, and it's a really busy slide. And I apologise if you can't see it from the back, but if you email me, jane@learnpurple.com, I will happily send you one. And all this is the employee journey, starting... I've got this, like, vibe thing going on tonight, haven't I? I'm not even going to move. starting with your reputation in the marketplace, which obviously it would be very easy for people to recruit and when you get out into business, and those of you who are already, if you had a fab reputation, everybody would want to come and work for you. So Pret A Manger used to have something like 50,000 on-spec applications every year because they were a great place to work. So it's all about... Oh, hello, Vicky. I've just seen you down there. Hello. Vicky said she really liked my book. It's the first time I'm going to mention it tonight. And this is all about, getting people to know who you are and what your culture is and what you're about before they even set foot in your door. And then all the way through immersing them in your culture, attracting them through your culture and your values, because you're a special place to work and you're different from everybody else. And all the way through, I won't bore you with it, but the whole circular bit in the middle is the whole, when you're inducted, getting you in there, managing your succession, your performance, where you're going to go, what you're going to do next, your development. And all Learn Purple does is attempt to help people to join that up through doing various different things. Anyway, I'm not here for the commercial, I'm here for the funny stories. Hopefully they're funny. So my first lesson, I'm going to be really gentle now. Right, one lesson is don't read speeches off notes because it looks really bad, which is what I was doing 10 years ago at our launch. So here's a picture of our launch. And my lessons from this, really I'm not touching anything. Right, this lesson is fake it till you make it. So I wanted to make a big impression with our launch. And I decided that we would do it at Smith's of Smithfield, which is John Turow's restaurant, on the top floor. And we'd have a breakfast launch, and we'd have lots of lovely drinks and breakfasty things. But we'd have fish finger sandwiches and sausages in rolls and all the rest of it. And I found out that Heinz ketchup had got purple ketchup, because we're called Learn Purple, had got this purple ketchup in the States. So at vast expense and effort, I got all this purple ketchup shipped in. There is a point to this story. And I thought, how am I going to make it really, really, really special? So on the invitation, we wrote, please join us for the Learn Purple launch where John Turow will be cooking breakfast. Well, clearly, John Turow didn't know who we were from a bar of soap and had no intention of cooking breakfast. But, you know, I figured we could do a bit of poetic license and say he was cooking breakfast because surely he would be somewhere on the premises doing some sort of cooking. So it could be construed that he was cooking our breakfast. Halfway through the launch, however, John Turow saw one of these invitations and came charging into our launch and said, who the hell do you think you are? So I'm sure he won't mind me saying this. you know, saying that I'm cooking your breakfast. And I said, oh, come on, you know, I'm a startup, be kind, be nice. And in the end, the only way I could get him to calm down was to give him my entire shipment of purple ketchup. So there you go. However, we did cause a bit of a splash with that invitation. So sometimes you have to kind of, you know, embellish the truth slightly without telling a lie. My other fake it till you make it is when I was trying to get my software to market. I'm not a techie by background. I'm just a sort of person with common sense. I took my spec to all these software houses and they went, oh, well, you'll need to put 2 million quid into that bit and 500,000 quid into that bit. And I used to work for family venture capitalists. And if anybody ever works for investors, you'll know it's very different from having the freedom of working for yourself. And I thought, when I've got my own business, I'm not going to have any investors. So I'm not going to go and borrow 2.5 million quid. And I was telling my brother-in-law, who's in PR, and he said, well, don't worry, go and talk to Henry Stewart. That's Henry Stewart there with the purple shirt. Looks a bit kind of techie and strange. And I said, it's a good idea. I'll ring Henry up. I said, do you know Martin Sunley? He said, why? And I said, well, you know, I'd really like to come and see you. So I see Henry, who's this massive guru in the whole techie world. But he's also very much into corporate social responsibility and helping people and all the rest of it. And I told him what I was trying to do. And he said, but this is inspired. This is marvellous. You must do it. And I said, but I can't afford to do it. And he said, look, I'm a much bigger business than you. So I will do it for you for not very much money. So this all went on and everything. And then afterwards, when we'd kind of struck our deal, I said, you know, how do you know Martin? And he went, I've no idea who he is. Who is he? Okay, so I ring my brother-in-law and I go, how do you know Henry Stewart? And he goes, oh, I know him, I've known him ages. And I said, no, Martin, how do you know? Do you actually know him? And he said, well, I don't actually know him. So I said, well, how do you know him? And he said, well, I went to a lecture at a conference once and he was speaking. So it just made me think that had he told me that, I would never have rung this guru, Henry Stewart, and I would never have got my software to market. So sometimes you've just got to be brave and just go for it. So that's my first kind of message, really. And we don't have to fake it anymore because we're 10 years now and we do things properly. But my second lesson is about if you are doing things, and, you know, it's pretty tough when you start a business. And when I started my business, I started on the 10th of September 2001, which nice picture of Joe there, which was the day before the tragedies of 9/11, obviously. And it was a really terrible time to start a business, really, because all these little orders that I'd kind of got lined up before I left my nice, well-paid job all disappeared, and people rang up and said, oh, no, I don't think we can commit to that now. And I sat there and thought, this is such a bad time to start a business, but it's not nearly as bad as, you know, if you were in New York at the time. And when we got through the first year, I thought, I can't believe we've survived, and not only survived, but had taken on an employee. So my second bit is, you know, celebrate your ups and your successes and make sure everybody knows, because I think, you know, people probably thought we'd just disappear into obscurity, especially all those people said, pay to do that stuff? Why should we do it? My next one is about recruitment, really, and the importance of getting the right people, and I know we all know that. This is Jo, who was my first employee, and she came 5 months in. And you'll see in a minute, she's very different now, because our purpose in life, as Learn Purple is, there you go, there she is, in the middle, is transformation. And Jo kind of, honestly, well, at least you get a preview of what's coming next. I'm going to try this now. And our way of recruiting is, we say to people, we want 10 bullet points about why you're the right person to join our business, and we want a one-page CV. And if they don't do it, we reject them out of hand, because if you can't be bothered to do what we want you to do at the recruitment stage, you're never going to do it ever again, are you? And the bullet points are interesting, because if people can write, it tells you that people can think quite clearly, and you know, they have a logical thought process. And also, the style in which they write the words and the things that they say. My husband was on garden leave at the time, and I said, right, if you're on garden leave, mate, you can do the recruitment for my first employee. And he sat there and he got Jo's application. She was the first person that he went, I'll just take her on, she's fantastic. No, 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 said I, we've got to go through 3 interviews and an assessment centre and all the rest of it. Anyway, we did all that, and then we took Jo on, so I should just listen to my better half, really. So, yeah, it is about, particularly a small business, obviously, is getting the right people. And then exactly as both Marcus and John just said, is about the whole professionalism thing. And it's not about what you do, just about what you do. It's the way you do it. And this is my team. Well, they're twice as big now, actually. This is 3 years ago, of whom I'm very proud, and we don't have a lot of diversity there, but we have now. We've done better. But you'll see that there's a kind of common thread coming through, and our values and the way that we do things at Learn Purple is really, really important to us. And we do wear black and look as if we're always going to a funeral, but, you know, people know who we are, and it's about the way you do things, and that's just a bit of an example, really. And our people, I do think, feel very much that they're part of something special, and I realise it's very easy for me with, you know, 16 employees or 18 employees as we are now. But it's just scaling up, really. It's about what is it that makes your place of work something special, and I think it can be done, but it takes a bit of effort, really. My next little lesson is about values and knowing what you're about. And I once employed this hugely bright graduate who came along and said, oh, values are so 90s. And I thought, oh, dear, that's so weird. That's a joke for the older people in the room. oh, he's done it again. But Steve Jobs, God rest his soul, did say that the only thing that ever works is management by values. And I think unless you absolutely know what you're about, and I don't mean about the brass plaque on the wall or the card in your pocket that tells you what the values are, it's about having the values embedded in everything from your reputation in the marketplace, through your culture, through the way you recruit people, through the way you make decisions, through everything the leaders do. And, you know, it's hard work because you can easily fall off that pedestal. But if everybody's working very hard to do it, and our values have only changed twice in 10 years, and we do review them every time a new person comes and every time, every once a year anyway, as a team. And when we recruit, we go through these in great detail and we say to people, look them in the eye and say, can you live 100% and give commitment to these values? Because if you can't, don't come here, because it's not going to work. And these are really, really important. The two things I changed was, one was we used to have innovation up there, and another bright graduate came along and went, oh, it's such an overdone word. I cannot live with the word innovation. So we changed it for the mouthful that is now improvement with originality, but hey, at least he's happy. And the other one was we never used to have trust and openness in there, because I always thought that was a given until we employed this mad person who, oh, I can't even tell you what he did, but there was no trust or openness. And trust is really, really important to us because, you know, we're pretty blunt at Learn Purple. We say what we think. You can only do that in a really trusting and safe environment. And as I said before, our purpose is transformation, and that's about everybody that works for us, but everybody that we do work for our company, for ourselves. We want everybody we touch to be some way a little bit better. So I hope after tonight, some way you're a teeny bit better than before I came. And if I'm not, then I've not done my job, and for which I apologise. Growing people, along the people thing, we do a lot of work with work experience and apprentices and people on a year out in industry and lots of stuff. And we're a small office. We don't really have the time, but we make time because we think it's so important. And we have, we keep winning all these awards, which is great, except we get every single student in the world wants to come down and spend their work experience with us. So we've got a bit of a rota, and we do have a few weeks off because we're a small office, we can't handle it. But we have had some really great people who've come and spent a year, gone back, finished their degree, and we've employed them, and that's worked really, really well for us. So, I am a visiting fellow at Sheffield, and I'm also a visiting fellow at Oxford Brookes, and both of you look after us very well, which is great, and it's a fantastic way to recruit. So I think the giving back absolutely gives back the other way too. For us, one of our values is achievement, as you saw if you read them. It's all about the outcomes. We don't think about what goes in, we think about what comes out. So if we give people a job to do, we talk to them about what we want it to look like at the end and how they'll know whether they've got there. But we don't tell them what to do. We say to them, if you need some support around that, that's fine. But it's all about the outcomes. So yeah, it's time to go. I might should just give you this to Vic, really, shouldn't I? And you could do it, Vic. There you go. So we do a lot of work with people around making sure they know they've got the outcome that they need. And you can only do that if you talk to them at the beginning about what they want. Malmaison Hotels, do you know them? Ever stayed in one, been in one, and Hotel de Vannes? We've done a lot of work with them. We've worked with them for 9 years now. When we first got them, we got 6 hotels, and now got 28 hotels, and they're doing all sorts of other things. And they won loads of lovely people awards, all about the outcomes again. And it's not just about awards, but I think it's important to prove that you're actually doing a good job. Spend a lot of time doing that. And that leads into PR, because once you're doing a good job, everybody wants to write about you. And we are big onto PR. My story I learned about PR was, years ago, I went to a lecture, and the person who was giving the lecture was the editor of Caterer and Hotelkeeper magazine. You read that? maybe. No, yeah, okay. And he was talking about, he was from Birmingham, this bloke, and he said, I'd really like to have a Balti curry. It was years ago. I'd really like to have a Balti curry, but I can't find anywhere in London. So I wrote to him the next day, because I don't think we even had email then, and said, look, if you want a Balti curry, I know where you can get one. I'll take you. So he obviously thought, she's a bit mad, but I'll go anyway. And we went for this Balti curry together in Streatham High Road. And I spent £16 on this Balti curry. And about 4 weeks after that, it was all the time when they were bringing in the minimum wage. That's how ancient I am. And nobody would say they thought the minimum wage was a good idea. But, you know, I'm from up north and I'm a bit working class and I thought it was an excellent idea. So I said, I'll say this. Anyway, so 4 weeks later, I had four pages in the Caterer. And ever since then, the magazine's been great to us. And we're grateful to them. We write lots of stuff for them. But, you know, they just look after you, these people, and that's all about taking the opportunity. So if you go to the lecture and they say they fancy a curry, take them for a curry. Why not? Nobody else is going to do it. So, you know, I do think the whole PR... Oh, God, it's done it again. The whole PR thing is just massively important. And recently, this year, I employed an in-house PR and marketing person for the first time. Before that, we've always done it ourselves. But that's the way we get our business, really. We don't kind of ring people up and say, do you want some? So it's kind of worth it. Yeah, cash is king. Obviously, if you haven't got any money, it's not really great because you can't pay people and then you go bust. So there's that kind of issue. But again, also about the return on investment of what you do, and particularly a small business, well, any business, you're not a charity. And people are, you know, you employ nice people, don't you? You want to help people. And then they do things and you go, hang on a minute, you've just done 15 days work for 7 days money. Why did you do that? Oh, but they're so nice and we really need to help them. So I think it is about having a hard edge to your soft and lovely values, because, you know, if you're not commercial, you're not going to survive, so there's not much point doing it. Did I just miss one then? Oh, no, two, look, three. Oh, my God, it's so funny. I hate this. Right, OK. If you're going to have any sort of business, you've got to have a good product. I know that's extremely obvious, but you wouldn't believe how many people try and flog a really rubbish product. And the only way you'll know whether you've got a good product really is to try it out. And this is a couple of screenshots of our latest version of our software product. But, you know, when we started this software business with Mad Henry, who built it, as I say, almost pretty much in the back of his shed, not quite, it wasn't a very good product. It was a great idea, and it was all right in theory, but it didn't really work. And, you know, it took 5 years to bring that product to market, and I'm really proud of it now, and it's great, and it operates in 22 countries, and we've got, you know, hundreds of thousands of people using it and all the rest of it. But you can only do that with a good product. People will see through you if you don't have a good product. We invented this thing called the 90-minute masterclass when we first started, which then became a learning bite, and now we've combined them into days of five so people can choose. And people thought that was great in hospitality because you don't really want to sit there all day, do you? So, you know, you could come and they could come in the morning and just do 90 minutes, or they could come and do a couple of sessions and then dip out the rest. So it's just about thinking about things that people want in a slightly different way and then making them as good as they can be. The brand. I'm massive into brands. We work with loads of cool brands. We absolutely love brands. We get what they're about, which is why they like us. We work with lots of people who aren't cool as well, but, you know, we like the cool brands too. And we've spent a lot of time evolving our brand. And as you can see right at the beginning, the branding we had was not particularly great, but I suppose for 10 years ago, it was probably all right. And it is about you have to keep moving, and I know you know that, and it costs a lot of money to rebrand. We never completely rebrand. We've never changed the name of our company. But we've always reinvented the way we do it and our graphics. We've got three female directors, no non-execs, and we've only got five guys out of 18. So people sometimes think we're a bit girly, and actually we're not. We're pretty tough about things. So our branding now is all about tools and, you know, spanners and ungirly things. Because when the agency came to do it, they brought us all these pictures of flowers and butterflies. Oh, no, 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 no. It's way too girly. So I think your brand is really, really important, and it has to reflect your values, and you can do that. Right, how are we doing? Oof, nearly up. Okay, and going through that, we live our brand in everything we do. You know, people turn up our office with purple things. Somebody brought us purple Christmas trees. You know, we go our training sessions, people wear purple ties, and you go, oh, that's nice of you to wear the purple tie. Oh, Ian, thank you. There you go. And they go, oh, I didn't know I was, and they were. You know, it's a bit like a sort of tribal thing. We paid a lot of money for a very expensive marketing consultancy last year, which actually wasn't worth it, but there you go. And the conclusion was, you are a tribe, and we are a bit like a tribe, and it does get a bit obsessive. But I think if you can achieve that with your people, everything else is easy, actually. So live it and have loads of fun. You know, it's really hard work running a business or working in a business, and your own business is all highs and lows, probably like most businesses. But I think when it's a small business, you know, it's down to you. It sinks or it swings, and the highs are really high and the lows are really low, and hopefully the highs are more than the lows. So you have to be really strong and resilient. You have to be prepared to, you know, give stuff up and do what you need to do. So the compensation is you're going to have a really excellent time. So on our good years, we go off to Ibiza for 4 days and all as the whole company and just do mad things. And on our not so good years, like recessionary type years, we sort of have a barbecue in my garden. But, you know, it is about having fun and doing loads of things. And as well as, I mean, that's our team, but as well as our team, these are our partners. Now, techie guys, anybody a techie guy here before I start talking about techies? Excellent. Right. Oh, you are. Okay, Mr. Techie over there. So the IT crowd, it's not a myth. It's kind of true. And our techies all live 3 hours out of Dublin in County Carlo. And what they do for their amusement is they either drink or they go kayaking. So they have very little in common. Well, we don't mind the odd drink. Have very little in common with them. And so it does mean that occasionally we have to go to Irish bars and dance around as if we lived there forever, and occasionally go kayaking, though I have to say I've never been the one who went kayaking. And the point there is you do need to treat your partners as well as you treat your people. And we treat our suppliers like that as well. And I know that sounds a bit get your violin out, aren't we lovely? But you just get more out of people when you're nice to them. So why would you not do that? Yeah, a few worse pictures than that, which I thought I wouldn't show you. Outcomes, we talked about return on investment and metrics and all the rest of it, but I think it is about very much measuring what you do and making sure everybody knows. We've got fantastic case studies on our website because we've got people to measure, and that's the only way you can do it, is to say, all right then, what do you want out of it? Have you got there? How are you going to measure it? And then, you know, big it up. If you don't big it up, then who's going to know? I mean, you know, somebody says, oh, you're such a self-publicist. But if you're not, who's going to do it for you? Nobody, actually, unless you have a very expensive PR agency, which I don't have the resource for. That's Sarah Edwards, incidentally, who works for Orient Express. And she's a great case study. You can read it on our website. I think she's in the book as well, actually. But about someone who went in there and really fought to get a lot of resource, to get a whole load of stuff in and put it in internationally and really transform the business. And Vicky will tell you this, that the changing role of HR is that it's not just about, you know, compliance and recruitment. It's about strategic and positioning on the board and fighting for the investment and doing things that actually evolve the business and make a difference. So she's a very inspiring person. So yes, did I mention I'd written a book? Funny enough. So because it was 10 years, I thought I'm going to write the little book of purple, because Simon Woodruff once wrote the little book of Yo, and I thought, oh, I'll do the little book of purple. However, no, I don't know where it's gone. Well, I'm really going to move away from that now. Move away now. And, of course, I sat down and I started writing, and then it all just came out, and it got longer and longer. And then, as I said, I got this new marketing manager, and she said, oh, you ought to send that to a publisher. And I thought, well, no, I can't bear the rejection, and I can't be bothered, and it's just all too boring. And anyway, so she sent it off, and we got this publisher, which was great. So my book is now currently available for £12.99 in Smiths and all good bookshops, but it's £7 on Amazon. So you want to read my book. It's dead easy to read. You could read it in a couple of hours. And it's the sort of book that you could actually steal loads of stuff from. It's easy to do. You could dip in and out of it. You could, you know, think you've got all the answers to lots of different things. And it just kind of puts all the people's stuff into perspective. It's not an academic book at all, but that's kind of the point of it for me. So that's my 10 years, really. I don't know if you've got any questions or anything. No? Stunned silence.
Jane,
thank you.
Thank you very much, Carol.